The greatest among you will be your servant, and all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Let us pray. Loving God, you are the greatest, that you humbled yourselves to share your love with the world through Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our minds and hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, you are our rock and our liberator. Amen. Servants, this passage comes to us after the torrent of challenges that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes throw at Jesus, just to find faults or discredit his teachings. So after the silencing of them, in chapter 22, we come to this chapter 23. Jesus turned to his disciples and the people and said to them, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do what they teach you and follow what they say, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach." And this is how Jesus labeled the scribes and the Pharisees. He called them a bunch of hypocrisy. I guess that there's two reasons why Jesus called them hypocrisy. One is how they conduct themselves despite knowing the teaching of the law. In verse 4, it says they tie up heavy burdens, really hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They seem to say one thing and do the other. And this is the opposite of what we know and we hear around us, to walk the talk. Or in other words, the words in the mouth is go in a different direction to what the fingers does. And the second to this is how they interpret the law to keep their so-called high and lofty status and lifestyle in the society. In verse 6 and 7, it says they love to have the place of honor at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. They were doing was this to make sure that they benefit, not only that, but to be glorified and honored and respected. And I'm sure in the expense of the people that they are responsible and supposed to care for. And no wonder why Jesus labeled them as hypocrisy. But these days, if we think about the media today or yesterday, it becomes the norm. Somehow for so long that people have been abused. We saw that on media that actress come out now after so many years because of the so-called stars or directors. They have the money, they have the gifts, and they allow people to come and work, but they abuse them sexually. And because they have the money and the gifts and everything, they do their best to get the closet in the The skeleton in the closet really wrapped up, and nobody knows about it until later. Unfortunately, those people, including churches, we know that the clergies do the same thing. But that's when we want to ask ourselves, how can we apply to these things? How can we try to help ourselves to stand in front of people seemingly good, but within ourselves there's nothing that God has called us to be? The question that I want to ask us today, if this is going on, the hypocrisy is going on around us, how about our church? How about our country? Our community? How about our family? And how about ourselves? Is there any inches or millimeters or centimeters in our lives that we try to look good, but within ourselves or behind the backs of everybody, we do the other? Jesus said to his followers and his disciples, "Great is the one who humble himself or herself and serve." What is humility? I consult the dictionary and it says is a disposition to be humble, a character to be humbled, a lack of false pride. One of the preachers in America, David Jeremiah, he said, "Humility is the ability to use the power and resources we possess for the good of others." The humble person values others, seeing value in them even they themselves may not. The person sees opportunity to serve others and thus so naturally and easily. They may be very successful in their work, but still sees himself or herself as a servant of all. Humble people set and achieve personal goals. They expect appropriate respect and appreciation for their work. They are not doormats, but they don't crave recognition, and their goal is not to be recognized above others. David reckoned that a life of humility begins in the mind. It starts with how you perceive yourself. That means it's a decision you made, a mindset you choose. He continued to say, "Humility is not thinking less about yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. It is a simple and challenging idea as making life less about me, more about others." In the same tone, Paul said to the church in Philippi, Do nothing from selfish ambition and conceit. Regard others as better than yourself. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but the interest of others. Humility has the power to find the interest of self in fulfilling the needs of others, has the power to see beyond and rather bleak situation and reach to the best of others. But what is the opposite? Is it about bright? They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. As you hear what I shared with the young people, that's the very purpose of it. The teaching where asks for the Israelites, make sure you remember it. And it says, put it on your forehead, on the above the door, wherever it may be clear to you, to remind you to remember how God have helped you through from Egypt to the promised land. It's not about showing off. It's not about trying to say to people, I am more important than you. But it's to remind you the love of God that is given to you when you are in bondage and you'll be freed by God's love. Jesus' parable in Luke chapter 18 talks about humility and pride at the same time. The Pharisees who came to pray, and he stand up in front and say, I am this and I am that. I'm good. I give my money. I help the poor. I give to the church. I do my everything that I've been needed of me from the law. But look at my poor friend over here at the back. And he stood up and said, Lord, I can't really even say a word to you. I'm not good enough to be someone to talk to you, O Lord. The Pharisees again show off. They do this and they do that for their own good, not the purpose of helping others to find what they need for themselves. The second reading from the Old Testament, Joshua was asked to lead after Moses died. And this is what God said to Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. God's exaltation of Joshua is through service. But that service for him is to try to help people to understand what they need to do. Give them the instruction of how to cross the Jordan River. I wonder if it's easy for us to think it from how we read it, because as you know and I know, it's very difficult to encourage people to do what they think is not appropriate. This time of the year, the River Jordan is really high. And this is the time that God said to Joshua, next 3 days, you have to make sure, let the people cross this river. But you first ask the priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. And as their feet tip the water will be stopped and you will be able to cross. I want to ask us to think about that. Can we humble enough to hear God and say, yes, God, I will do this? To me, I find it really difficult if that I know nature, that this time the level of the river is going to be high. I can't really convince myself I will stand and put myself in the shoes of Joshua and say to the people, 3 days from today, we will cross. But the priest, Simote and the rest of the team will carry the Ark of the Covenant. And this is what God said: as the tip of their toes step onto the river will stop flowing and will heap up like a wall of water. But the river will be tried for people to walk. Stand there until the people finishing crossing. Today, I find it really, really hard to be humble. To tell myself that I can stand and hold the Ark of the Covenant of God so that others will find their way in life. Next week, Living Wage Movement, they are going to celebrate a week from Monday to Friday to reflect on how they help those who work really hard with all their hearts and might, but they still get the very low pay. We give thanks to God for those who have been helping. And example from our council here, city council, they allow that to happen. More than our government. $20, 20 already. And I'm glad to hear one of the councillors is here, the Reverend Brian Dawson. One of those who want to stand up and carry the Ark of Covenant to say to New Zealand, our families with low pay need to be appreciated, to be cared for, to be loved, to give them a living wage. It's not a minimum wage, it's a living wage for them to live and their family. And their children will be able to get what they need. My challenge for us today, we hear what Jesus called the Pharisees, those who know the law, maybe like us, we know the Bible. Are we strong enough to stand up like Joshua and the priest, to carry the Ark of Covenant of the Lord, the faith, the peace, the love, and be able to stand in the current of struggle and fear so that others may find peace, may enjoy their life with their family. May those who've been abused to find those comfort. That's the challenge for us today. The greatest among you, you will be a servant. I'm sure you will find a way to hold others up, not only you and me. Jesus is the true example of being a servant. He came to this world. He walked the talk. What he says, that's what his finger touched. Even on the cross. And he said, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. We are about to share the communion. This is not just the ritual for us on every first Sunday when we have a combined. We come and have bread and juice and drink and eat and we go home. This is a reminder for us. There was a time that God had seen the world and gave his only son to die. To carry the Ark of Covenant to set us free. Isn't it amazing that we follow a tradition that we know that has been for so many years, thousands of years, so that we tell the world there is good news. But we need to be servants so that others may know the good news of God's love. When we choose to humble ourselves, we place ourselves in the streams of God's grace. And this grace is what we all need to flourish in life. as you continually make decisions to humble yourselves, expect God to bear your desires, guide you, lift you up, and revive you with the Holy Spirit. Let us come today and share the communion. Let us remind ourselves we must be a servant. We must carry the Ark of the Covenant, which is God, in our lives, so that we may be able to share God's love wherever we may be called to serve. Amen. Amen.